Well, ladies and gentlemen, our topic today is the tragic loss of trust. And we've given you the numbers. We've talked about how we got here and the decline over the last 50 years plus. But what we want to get to is not just a discussion of where we are. I think we all understand we're at a place that is unlike any place we've been in the history of our country as far as lack of trust in the institution of government, as well as those that serve in that institution. But the most important thing is, how do we retrieve or restore trust in not just the government itself, but those that represent us in that very sacred institution? I think everything that's going on in Washington, D.C. could be tied back to a violation of one or several of the Ten Commandments. For example, we say many times on this program that you will view as your God either government or God himself. And government was never intended to be a deity. It was never intended to provide everything for us. God is the one that does that. And so the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, including government. I'm going to put that in as well. We could also talk about thou shalt not steal. With all that is going on, the rampant thievery, whether it's governmental thievery or it's thievery on the part of individual legislators, all of that is a violation of that commandment. But I want to focus in on what is the gaining and garnering the attention of the American people currently, and that are these incredibly salacious allegations sexually that are coming out against our elected officials. And I'm not just talking about allegations. I'm talking about proven conduct where the person accused has admitted, yes, I did this. I touched inappropriately. I groped or I assaulted a woman, or I did this or that or the other thing. We're talking about admitted acts on the part of people that are serving in Washington, D.C., and how that is a violation of thou shalt not commit adultery. Sam, you gave three key areas. I asked the top three things that must be done for a restoration of trust, and you mentioned those three. I want you to take those three and mention them again, but do so in the context of what we're watching in D.C. right now, and that's all of this sexual impropriety. Apply those three things directly to that one topic, if you would.
Well, Dave, that's a big order to try and do here, but I'll go this direction here first. Number one, I said, if it's going to change in Washington and trust is going to be restored, and I'm going to take it beyond Washington, just take it to our homes, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, wherever it may be. Because the trust factor is all a matter of what relationship. We're magnifying and focusing on the national because of the impact on our lives that these individuals give. But nonetheless, I said, they need to stand up and identify, look in the mirror and ask the question to themselves, who is my God and what are his requirements? So publicly, they ought to stand up and say, all right, this is who my God is, because ultimately they have one. So if it's God of the Bible, that's a whole lot different than if it is Allah as God, or as there is no God, an atheist, or as the God is government, the humanist. It makes all the difference in the world. So they got to look in the mirror and be honest with themselves and say, who's my God, number one. And then where is his body of expectations? Now, for the God of the Bible, our founders would say they took you right to the Bible, and they went specifically to the Ten Commandments because they were the basis for the administration of law and justice. And those were the items, those were the key items that God laid out that said, you better observe these things. If you observe these things, you can have an orderly society. And if you don't, you're going to collapse. So that starts with who God is, and that goes all the way down to not killing, not stealing, not coveting, not lying, not committing adultery, sexual fornication-related things. All of those items that, Dave, that you listed earlier, they're the reasons why we don't have trust in government officials today, because they violated one or more of those things. So identify who God is, what his law is, and then they have to themselves say, all right, if I have violated any of these things, then they ought to have a matter of character to stand up and say, all right, I have violated these things. That would be a violation. We got to go to the matter of civil law, because our civil law does require certain things. And then they need to, within their own ranks, say, we got to clean up our own house. Justice must be applied if you've broken civil law that's on the books, whether you are in the street or whether you're in the seat of Congress. no difference, all. It must apply to all. That's what justice is about. And then thirdly, then it's a matter of they've got to commit to being consistent and measurable against these levels of expectations. That way the people know what the measurement is, they themselves know what the measurement is, and they go from there. Now, theoretically, Dave, the constitutional oath should provide that. I do solemnly swear to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States built on these biblical principles. That's not in there, but that's what they are. And they walk through and they say, then, so help me God, acknowledging that the God of the Bible. Now, we know that there are individuals in Congress who would not put their hand on the Bible. The Muslim members, the Keith Ellisons of the world and others, they wouldn't put their hand on the Bible. And they wouldn't swear to God because they have a different God. And for them, lying and so forth is completely legitimate. So that's why I'm saying you got to choose who God you are. Don't be afraid to stand up and identify with it. Apply it to yourself. Apply it to your body. And justice, apply it equally to all, whether they be in the streets or they be in the hallowed seats of Congress.
Sam, what you just shared, I think, is one of the most powerful things I've ever heard with respect to restoring trust. And it was the great evangelist Dwight Moody many years ago that said this: he only is safe outside the sight of a policeman who carries his policeman with him. And he said that policeman is called character. But of course, to Moody, because he was a preacher of the gospel and a preacher of the word of God, it was a character established upon God's law, God's truth. And that's what you've laid out. And friends, this is the key. We cannot have trust on the part of our elected officials, those representing us. We cannot have trust in this wonderful institution of government if we remove God, if we remove God's word, God's expectation, as Sam so clearly said it, and then a commitment to live according to that expectation. If these three things are not there, then friends, there is no way possible to have trust once again restored in the United States of America. Sam, I want to go a little off topic before I ask you to pray. Because this came up again today on another talk show, and I thought it was very, very interesting. The topic was trust and restoring it. Is there any validity to the fact that if we could implement term limits for those representing us in Congress, they wouldn't have enough time to get entrenched in their good old boy club, entrenched in their perverse ways? If they could only serve two terms, one term, whatever, would that help restore some trust, just that in and of itself?
Without the changes that I laid out, no. You either have crooks for 2 years or crooks for 6 years.
I agree, Sam.
I mean, in reality, a good man is a good man for life. A man of character is a good man of character for life. I don't mind having a good man around for a long time.